Mics are live.
We are now reconvened for the administrative portion of the meeting. We have four items on consent. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, could I interrupt? Can we send somebody down to House of Probes? They're bringing up our budget right now. They're talking about our budget, so I don't know if Jill's down there, but if she could go down. That they're making amendments.
Okay, we'll wait 1 minute until Steve gets right back, and then we'll... I wonder if I should wait on the discussion for him.
I guess our testimony on the budget was so thorough they didn't need to visit with us about anything else, huh? Good job, Brian. Be so thorough they had no questions.
It was actually me.
That's
right. It's me presented. I was on my planes, trains, automobile saga, which wasn't...
Living the high life.
Okay, we will now move into discussion. The first item, Conrad, you're up.
All right. Good morning, commissioners. So wanted to reapproach and have a discussion of our insolvency process and the grain liquidation process over at Roarville, the Nodak grain location at Roarville, North Dakota. As we discussed during our work session held on March 21st, we told the commission we'd reapproach this subject once we had time to crunch the numbers and ready to kind of move in that direction as far as we laid out the two options that we're looking at for removing grain at that facility. And just to recap, the issues that we have there is that the basement along with the leg pit of the elevator and under the scale pit is has water in it due to a broken pipe and water that has seeped in from the ground. So at this point, we cannot remove grain from the bins with that water and ice being present there. So in summary, we had two options that we were discussing during that work session. The first one is to remove the water from the basement via pumping it out. That would in turn drain the scale pit and then also the leg pit, and to be able to work on getting the elevator back to a functioning state. The second option would be looking at contracting with a grain vacuum company, a grain vac company, to come in and to remove the grain in those bins. The challenges that are presented with each one is first in option one with removing water from the basement is that, you know, there potentially may be some additional damage done to any bearings that may be down there that would need additional repair, but none of the motors and critical equipment used in that process is underground underwater right now. That's all above at the grade surface. Issues with the contracting with the grain vac company and the challenges that that presents is that the company is very expensive to utilize, approximately $6,000 per day for their use. Additionally, removing the grain from the facility at the rate that they're capable of doing would involve a lot of logistics and organization and prep work to ensure that there are trucks there to basically load that grain into while they do their work. It's either that or taking that process and extending it out for a few weeks to be able to effectively remove it, because our bottleneck really occurs with transportation. It also occurs with the ability of the successful bidder to be able to intake that much grain at one point in time. You know, these are processing facilities that we're working on with these yellow peas. They do not bring in a terrible amount at one point in time. What we would be looking for is just not within their wheelhouse to be able to provide. Based on that and based on our review of the situation, staff is recommending that we go with option one, which is to have the water pumped out from the basement. We've worked with the Department of Health, have taken samples of the water there. The water is safe to be discharged once we get a permit from the Department of Health as well, which we've spoken with them about in the past. Additionally, the cost and the benefit to the trust fund is, you know, based on our analysis on the value of the grain. I did send out a memo the other day, so on the back side of that was a liquidation estimate sheet there. Based on the differences of the two scenarios, we'd be coming out approximately $100,000 ahead on using, you know, going with option one to be able to pump the water out of that facility. And that's based off of the 6,000-day per estimate for the grain vac company, based off of roughly figuring 15 days because we're not going to be able to get enough transportation in there to get all that emptied out within 1 week, which that company's fully capable of doing. But that's our recommendation. Also, that's also based off of discussions with our inspectors, who are both very familiar with these types of facilities as they have worked in them in the past, and are confident that we would be able to get that facility operating so we could then liquidate that grain at a much more reasonable pace that a successful bidder is going to be able to intake as well.
Do we need any type of a waiver to utilize the on-site equipment, which in effect would be occurring if the water is pumped out?
If we pump the water out?
You had mentioned that there might be concern with damage to bearings. Is that water-related damage?
That would be potential water-related. The only, the legs that are actually in the pit itself and the bearings that are at the base of those legs. So, but that's, we're not talking huge bearings that you would need, heavy lift equipment to replace.
Okay. And we can go in and do that.
Yes, and speaking with the inspectors. And Mike, if he would like to elaborate or if there's any questions specifically on that, as he's worked in this these environments before.
Basically, it's very simple. There's just two bearings on the bottom of each leg. And they're, I replaced a bearing on a piece of equipment over the weekend, and it cost $175 for the bearing. And I would assume that this would be a very similar situation. So even if we had to replace bearings, it's not that we're spending a huge amount of money.
I had long discussions with Conrad and then separately with Mike and Anthony, and learned more than I probably anticipated learning about the inner workings of this era of elevator facilities. And if you recall in some previous discussions, I kind of leaned toward, we got to get this thing moving and let's just vac it out and get it sold. But with the dilemmas that causes, not only Conrad talked about how fast they can go compared to how fast a receiver might be able to receive it, and so even if they weren't vacuuming, they're going to be charging us by the day, and so it could end up being a lot of money. There also might just be some potential buyers who are just turned off to the idea of trying to take it so fast. And so as important as speed is to me, it sounds to me like we can do this in a fairly timely manner anyway, and I think enhance the trust fund to the maximum possible. I think it's the responsible route to take. The proposal being suggested by staff.
In addition to that, we are still monitoring this to see, if we see anything that is going to kind of spiral out, where we think there's just issue after issue, to be able to stop that, and if we need to divert, to a different option, we can. To that extent, we're working with, due to the fact that there is electrical conduits that are in the basement of that building, none of the main power panels or motors are underwater, but there's some electrical conduit underwater. So in an effort to ensure that, we are proceeding very, forward cautiously, but, with the best interests of the trust in our minds as well, is that we're going to have an electrical inspection done over at that facility next week. That has to happen for either option to happen, because we would need power at the facility regardless of going with option one or option two at this point. So, we're going to work on that. And then that inspection will be able to tell us, if we've got further problems that we're not able to see, and potentially if there's additional electrical repairs that need to be made to be able to get the facility running, and a cost estimate of what those may be as well.
Say, I was interested in one line here particularly, and this is probably a question for you, Mike. And that is, both the questions, warehouse inspectors who have many years of experience working in elevators such as this one are confident that the facility can be operated with minimal repairs once the water is removed. So can you talk a little bit about that, Mike? What gives you that confidence, and the kind of repairs are you anticipating?
I've owned an elevator that was very similar to that. It was an old wood elevator.
Uh-huh.
And I worked in an elevator in Grafton that was just very similar to that one. and I've replaced those boot bearings many times, and, you know, I've been there, done that. So
it's not that complicated?
No, it isn't.
And besides the boot bearings, there's nothing else that the water is damaging? Is there any other risks that something else is broken that we can't see or anticipate that might cost the whole bunch more money?
Not that I would expect. But, you know, I can't say anything for positive.
Sure.
There's, I just can't see. It's such a simple arrangement as far as equipment is
right.
concerned.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, I mean, to me, that gives me a lot of comfort, and the $90,000 cost of the greenback is just, I mean, we'd have to spend a lot of money on repairs to even close to getting to that.
That's correct, Commissioner.
I'm in agreement.
The time frame for doing it, remind me, maybe you already said that, but I was still thinking about the...
No, we did not discuss, you know, we anticipate, I would say, within hopefully a week to 2 weeks to be able to get things moving over there. We've got the electrical inspector coming in early next week. That's going to tell us some more information. We've coordinated with a company that would be able to do the water removal process in the past. We've got to touch base with them to see what their availability is like, hopefully with the issues with the recent thaw and flooding in just certain areas and communities, that it doesn't become too much of an issue. But hopefully, we're hopeful that we could probably start this within the next 2 weeks or so, I would think, unless if I'm missing anything, Mike.
I have a very optimistic view of things, so my looking at it, we should be able to get going hopefully by the end of the month. And my view would be by the end of the month we'd be loading grain, but mm-hmm. may put another week on that for realistic.
And so. Then when you start loading, how long to get it fully emptied?
I would guesstimate a month, but I hope we could do it sooner than that, but let's figure on a month. And it has to do more with, it isn't the speed that we can load out, it's the speed that they can receive.
Sure.
But the advantage that we have loading out this facility versus Tunbridge is we can load out for 2-3 different people at the same time because there's more places to load from. Whereas in Tunbridge we were using a conveyor and it had to come out of this bin, and then when it was done we had to move.
That was one of the key things. I thought that if someone can only take so many peas in a day, but at the same time, we can also be moving some canola to somebody else and some durum to somebody else.
Yep. Okay. All right. Well, if we're done discussing that, I believe we... I'm sorry.
Thank you for laying it out.
Yes. I believe we have one more discussion matter, and that would be...
Yeah, I just... are you talking about mine?
No, I'm talking about HB 1383. Is that correct, Stacy?
Can we quickly, since we're talking about grain, just finish this one and then okay.
Okay.
So I handed out at the beginning of the meeting a letter that I want to... that I intend to send out this afternoon. I want it... It's on the grain program and what we've done. It affects all of us, so I wanted to give you guys a chance to see it and make any, you know, corrections or changes or anything else that really gives you heartburn before I do that.
This does not give me heartburn.
Okay.
I think it's well written.
Randy?
I haven't even gotten through reading it once, but I just will say... Yeah, it's such a small technicality, but in that second paragraph, 6 years, you know, we've worked on it 3 sessions,
okay.
But it's really about 4.5 years since we started submitting the bill.
Sure.
But
all right, I didn't make that change. 3 sessions. If you have any other, tweaks, you can certainly feel free to give them to me, and I will work to incorporate them.
Thank you for distributing it.
Just a small typo.
Okay. Thank you.
Then we will move to 1383. Stacy?
Yeah, just an update from the conference committee hearing this morning, and I did send out the proposed amendments to the legislative group just a bit ago, so you can look at those after the meeting. But Representative Brandenburg did suggest amendments. There's a lot of them here that they didn't discuss, and so I don't know if they make any big differences or anything. But they discussed the change of the review committee to add back in a lot of the egg groups, the corn growers, grain growers, soybean growers, Farm Bureau, and Farm Union. There's also some concern about making sure that the original intent of that review committee was still there. I guess they existed before and had duties before this, and they wanted to make sure that they still will keep those duties. They didn't discuss a whole lot more. They did discuss about making sure the language, as far as the payments from that review committee, were only for direct impacts and not indirect impacts, because there was adding back in the indirects in the siting area, but they wanted to make sure the payments were only for direct impacts. So they were talking about the wording of that a little bit. And then the main discussion was the Section 6 on the amendments that prohibits the commission from requesting or accepting from the Game and Fish Department a project comment letter or any other documentation relating to any adverse, direct, or indirect environmental or wildlife impacts. There's a lot of questions about how the commission receives information from other agencies and how that information is used. And there were several members of the committee that indicated that they want to research that more so that they know how that works better. And so the committee ended it there, and we're going to do some research and set another committee date.
Was anyone else there besides you?
From?
Anybody?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was a pretty full room.
Okay. So, like, industry folks?
Yep. I noticed some industry.
Okay. Were there other legislators there?
Couple.
Okay.
Couple mulling around. Yes, I believe he was.
Okay. Well, I mean, so. I didn't go because for a couple reasons. One, I had something else more burning on my plate. But more importantly, I'm kind of on the fence about how much we should personally be present in this discussion. I fear that some of this is being developed as there's like more personality focus on this than policy, and that's not helpful for anybody, and so I don't want to exacerbate that. And I also feel like industry ultimately is going to have to bear the effects of whatever changes they make, so they need to step up to the table. At the same time, I do feel like we at least need to know, they need to know where we are. I think we've said that. I think we've made our issues pretty clear, and I want to be available to them if they have just questions about how we use things, so I hope that they will ask us, or I don't have a problem reaching out to the committee members and saying, if you want me to come to a meeting, I'm happy to talk. But, you know, it's kind of a touchy time for this stuff.
I don't completely disagree with your sense of it, but I think I come down just right on the other side of the fence, maybe.
Yeah.
I did get a contact from one of the committee members right after it ended, seemed kind of surprised that we weren't there, requested to visit with me.
Which one?
Immediately. I told him as soon as this meeting was done I would. So, that being said, here's what I think they really, really need to know. As I understand, you know, you talk about, well, industry has this responsibility. Here's where I see our problem coming in, and, you know, maybe lesson learned from grain. We've been in a catch-22 with grain all this time that we kind of have a perception of responsibility yet are hamstrung that we're not supposed to do the things that it would take to do our job well. If this passes, and so, and as I'm looking quickly at the amendments, I think now they're taking out the oil and liquids again, and so that would be out of it, and this would just be electric. To put in a provision into a section of law that we cannot receive information from Game and Fish, when elsewhere in the same section it says that we may and are encouraged to get information from agencies such as that, then here's what I see in the future. Instead of Game and Fish doing it, it'll be U.S. Fish and Wildlife, or it'll be individuals, and they'll present that information. If we accept it, then we're going to have legislators say, we told you we didn't want you paying attention to this wildlife stuff, and yet you did anyway.
Well, except that they aren't saying that. I think is the problem.
But we know what their meaning is. They don't want these things delayed. And so I think they need to discuss that and be more clear. Is it just Game and Fish you don't want, or is it wildlife issues you don't want addressed?
I agree with you. And they should bite the bullet and say wildlife issues if that's what they're getting at. But
right.
I think they're scared to do that. So this is their circular way of getting around it.
But I hope in that conference committee, this is what I'm going to be expressing, my personal hope is that the subject is going to come up. Well, what do you want them? You know, maybe you should change the other part then of the Citing Act. Just take out that we're supposed to be looking at this stuff, or make clear that we evaluate this information as long as it doesn't come from the Game and Fish Department. They need to make clear what it is they want us to do, or we're going to be right back with the same legislators upset with us again.
I don't disagree. I'll reach out. I'm glad you got a contact from somebody. I'll reach out to, who's the chair? Is it Schreiber back?
I believe so.
I think so. I'll reach out to her and offer my participation in the next hearing if they'd like, the next committee meeting, and go from there. But I see it the same way. They need to clarify exactly what it is they want, how they want to deal with the wildlife issues. And I will go a step further to say I think it's a mistake to take out wildlife issues as a consideration, because the strength of the citing program, as proven by the Dakota Access case, is its thoroughness.
Yeah.
And if we don't do this outside, the federal government will, and outside environmentalists will begin to object to our orders, and they will be overturned.
And sadly, you know, I think a key provision in here is the fact that they, as quickly as I've been able to review it, it appears that they have removed the oil and gas sections.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could still have a strong siting program there.
We're there, yep.
But a big transmission line is going to be a problem under this, that with potentially getting overturned if we haven't been thorough. So to me, if the goal here is to just make sure that anybody that wants to build a wind farm gets to build a wind farm anywhere that someone's willing to give them a piece of property to build it on, rather than making all these catch-22s and everything, just take wind out of the Siting Act and let them build. Make it a private property right.
Yeah, that's the debate they should have, if that's what they're getting at. A lot of Brandenburg's comments, too, were about the timing. He mentioned many times about the letters being submitted at the last second before the hearing, and the fact that he had many instances where landowners were promised towers and were expecting it, and then at the last second a letter was submitted, and then the company changed things, and those landowners ended up missing out because of that, and they had no clue that it was coming until the last second. So that was another one of his comments about the timing of it at the last second, just so that you're aware.
That's fine. I mean, he understands what he believes he knows, but he doesn't know everything about the timing and when these conversations take place and the history of the back and forth with the company and all the agencies they consult with. So if that comes up, I'm happy to address that as well.
Well, and until we have a hearing, I don't know that that agency that he's mad at or other agencies or individuals or private groups that could bring the same concerns to us, I don't know that they have any obligation to bring it until the hearing. It's kind of courtesy. It's helpful. Gets the ball rolling that they can be working on it along the way.
Yeah.
But that's what the hearing is for other people to comment on it. But anyway, I'm going to sure be trying to urge the one I'm visiting with to get this clarified. What do they want? How do they want us to handle these? And I think we'll carry out the law.
It's always been my approach.
All right.
Thank you, Stacy.
Thank you very much. Do we have any more discussion matters, Steve?
I'm going to hold it over because I didn't get the job done. So.
Okay.
I will just give you a update on our budget bill. I got down there just in time for the vote. It passed 19-2, and Representative Brandenburg is the bill carrier.
Do we know what it is? What's in it?
My understanding of it is apparently there was going to be some language changes regarding the mitigation payments that 2 days ago were proposed to go in. Those have now been stripped out. I had a brief conversation with legislative counsel. He didn't even realize they voted on it today. So our understanding of it up until this point is the major changes involve moving the grain licensing program to the Ag Commissioner's office. And what is being moved is essentially the 1¾-time inspectors, which we have, the additional FTE that the Senate gave us, so 3 FTEs, we know, and then the accounting budget specialist has been removed from that budget as well. Whether or not all of those are going into the Ag Commissioner's budget, I don't know. The other change that was made is the rail program is no longer permanent. It's just been extended for another 2 years. And then supposedly there was language in there about doing some study from the rail program side about, I think Commissioner Fedorchuk is, technology, and I think to see if the program is still needed going forward. But the final bill has not yet been drafted, so I'll be on the lookout for that. But that's my understanding of it up until this point.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
And they're going to send you the bill, like the amendments and everything, Legislative Council?
Yeah, okay. Once it's finalized. They also mentioned that apparently OMB is supposed to be apprising us of when meetings are being held. So I...
Since when?
They're supposed to be their secretaries?
That's what OMB said. That's what council said, is that OMB was supposed to be letting us know when the committees are meeting to discuss these things.
Was OMB down there? Was our budget person down there?
Steph was down there. I talked to her afterwards, and she said that the House side is not really formally scheduling anything. They're just meeting and fitting things in as they can. So she goes, up until this point, we were talking about, I think she said, like, human services budget. Mm-hmm. So it was just something that they had 3 extra minutes and they just voted on it.
Did you say, do other agencies get invited from legislative council or from the committee clerk? Or is it just us that has this policy with OMB?
Chris made it, legislative council made it sound like that was supposed to be the universal.
Does Steph know that? Policy. Did she say she understood that too?
I have not talked to Steph since I had that.
You should, yeah, ask her just so we know what she knew. And
if she's dropped the ball, then it's not the committee's fault.
Yeah, or maybe she didn't know that was her job. That would be good to know too.
All right. I believe we have two that I'm aware of scheduling matters on the agenda. One is the Midwest Grain Trading, NODAC Grain Insolvency Work Session. Conrad, we are looking.
Yes, and with you being out next week, Commissioner Crosius, we are looking at either, and this is in coordination with Mitch Armstrong's schedule as well, the 24th or the 26th of April for that meeting.
Does that get, is that pushing it too far back in terms of?
Oh,
speed of delivery in terms of as we continue through this process?
No, it does not.
Okay.
Mitch said that he's got some research that he needs to do in preparation for that meeting. I do want to advise the commission that that meeting will go into an executive session with some of the topics that we need to have a discussion on regarding the insolvency. So just wanted to preface it with that. I know the 24th seemed open on the three of your schedules, but I don't know all of your appointments.
Yeah, the 24th meetings. Would be the LEC annual meeting. So we may want to work around certain portions of that. Or the morning of the 26th is wide open up until Bill's retirement.
Right, and Mitch mentioned, too, that he said he would like to try and attend that, so that may work best for all parties if the commission is available to have an hour in the morning or something.
On the 26th?
On the 26th.
I'm okay with that, but I think we should leave some flexibility in the time, if that's what I'm going to schedule it. What Bill and his family are undertaking here is pretty significant. We're going to need this committee room. We're going to need this hearing room for this executive session, if we go into an executive session. And I don't know what kind of setup time they need and stuff, so we just got to be...
Either early, like 8:30,
or maybe
or after.
I would propose 8:30. I would have to believe that...
By 10.
You know, if we were completed at 10, that's an hour and a half, that would still, and we could double check with Bill.
Yeah, and I think it could even be later. If Mitch is wanting to stay around, then.
Right. No, he said that his availability is all day that day, as is with mine. So
clean up afterward, even 2 in the afternoon as well.
Would it? Yep, that would be fine as well. So whatever.
Preference either way for.
I just assume get it done in the morning.
Yeah, me too.
And okay.
Have it move on. But I think we should just schedule for that morning and let Conrad let us know as soon as possible the exact time. And
okay. Yeah, maybe why talk to Bill and see what time he'd like to have access to the room.
Let's
and
see.
Then.
If the earliest we could look at probably if the 8:30 would seem
Let's tentatively plan 8:30 and then having, say, 1:30 or 2, depending on how much time they need to regather. There will be a lot of... Mm-hmm. things between crock pots and dishes and whatever else in here. So
okay.
Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair. So we'll look at 8:30 and then either 2 is another option, and then we'll all confirm with Bill and we'll get it. Once it gets scheduled, then you'll see it come across your calendar at that point, and I can just shoot a quick email that this is the time we're going to shoot for.
Is it an issue if it gets pushed a little farther than 2 in the afternoon?
No, but we'd like to have it in the morning.
No, I'm just saying if that something falls through there.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, we got to have it. We got to get it done.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay, then the final item that I'm aware of is the staff picnic, the summer picnic, the brat versus burger competition, which I take very seriously. I've got a few tricks up my sleeve to up the ante. Before warned, Commissioner Chrisman.
Does anyone have a desire to do it not at the end of summer? Like, do it more in the early part of summer?
I like the end.
I kind of like July right in the middle. Nothing screams
so
summer picnic
done,
in July.
We've done it actually in September the last couple of years.
Not so hot then.
There's always bees. That's the only bad thing about September.
Okay, wait a second. We go all winter complaining about the cold, and now we're concerned about it being too warm. Yeah, it's true. You do get into hornet season in September. I'm completely flexible.
I don't like, yeah.
I know we've stayed.
August is difficult.
We've stayed away, I think, from the summer months to some extent. My impression is because people are taking summer vacations, and then you have
sure.
You can't get around that entirely, but July is probably not an ideal month considering.
How about September 4th? It's a Wednesday.
I like it.
There's a good chance we have a commission meeting that day. We haven't set those yet, but. Does that work?
Works for me.
Tentatively?
Okay, let's.
Okay.
Well, or should we set it the 5th so that if we have a commission meeting that day, it's not getting in the way of preparations?
Well, the only thing is sometimes when we don't have a commission meeting, then people get meetings outside and you aren't
yeah.
home.
What? How about we set it that day, but we
light.
Plan it that we don't do an informal?
Okay.
Yep.
Sure.
Perfect. Okay, that sounds really good. And if we do need an informal, we could shift the commission meeting to the 5th and have the informal to follow as well. We've got some flexibility. So.
Or we could ship the party to the 5th, too.
The informals don't have to be the same day as a commission meeting. We just kind of hold those so we have some available.
So. Right.
Okay, so the 4th it is, tentatively. We'll shoot for that. Any other scheduling items?
Well, on that subject, then, is... Are we delegating to the executive secretary to make arrangements at whatever you call that park down there again and try and get that shelter?
Sir Toma?
Jill and I had a conversation yesterday. We might look at a different venue if that would be agreeable. We've got a little bit of time, so yeah.
Okay.
Still looking for that.
So. Sleepy Hollow Park. I've been there.
There's a couple of them that are pretty good.
Awesome.
Sounds great. Okay, any Pat or Adam?
As an update on scheduling.
Come to the mic, Adam, please.
The Belfouche hearings.
Belfouche?
Yeah. So,
first, the only dates available for Belfouche and that work with everyone's schedules are June 10th and June 11th. Yeah.
Nothing in May?
Nothing in May, no.
Whose schedules are we talking? Is it the ALJ?
Mainly the Belfouche people have provided very few dates.
Well, I think the earliest dates that I got from Adam, which I assume is the list that came from Belfouche, the first date was May 29th.
So yeah, they came back subsequently and said that date is out of the running. The 29th and the 30th of May.
So they're preventing it from being much earlier.
Yep.
All right, well then they must not be that. Well, they're conversions, so I guess this is not a construction issue, so I have to keep reminding myself that.
Yep, right.
Okay, so June 10th, huh? Let's see here. I'm normally so hesitant on that time of June because of Mark, but it's not then. So.
And we're still trying to look into the possibility of scheduling the same day. The Belfouche attorney indicated that they could do it in one day. But,
that would be slick.
Yeah, but the issue there is finding a new sound vendor to set up in the other location. Because one of the hearings is going to be held in Watford City, and then the other one either in Belfield or Dickinson.
And the current vendor can't do both?
Right. Correct.
So I think that's, I've kind of been pushing these guys to try to do that just because it's pretty much the same crew of people and we're, you know, an hour to an hour and a half apart on the locations. And so I think it just makes a lot of sense from everybody's time. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, if there's a vendor in Dickinson that can do the sound, it doesn't hurt us to use other vendors either. And so that's kind of what my take on it.
Well, you know, one thing I like about, well, you could argue against this, but one thing I do like about, you had mentioned Belfield, mm-hmm. just seems to get into, there's a lot of activity, I guess, between Dickinson and Belfield already, but mm-hmm. just giving a different, I guess it's 20 miles away, it's probably not a big deal, but.
Okay.
It's 20 minutes sooner we'd be done, and, you know.
Yeah.
Here's my thought on this two in one day. I like the idea, but I asked Adam to visit with the Belfouche people, and I'm going to just throw out some numbers to make the point. So if we're trying to, say, start a hearing in Watford City at 9 and in Belfield at 2, and I don't know, I can't remember exactly how long that takes to drive, but say hour and a half. So that means that we probably have to be done in Watford City then by noon in order to make it, because I don't expect to get to the second one late. That's not fair to those people that came. Well, so then you got a 3-hour hearing, and so to me, the company needs to be able to be wrapped up in about half the time. You should plan on that there's going to be some public testimony. And so I don't want to schedule a 3-hour hearing because that's how much time the company needs, and then we've locked the public out of it, essentially. So it's got to depend on the amount of time they're going to need to present their case.
Okay.
In my mind.
And the fact that it's a conversion, I think, does make it a little simpler from their standpoint.
I think, well, from their standpoint, and it will probably lessen the chance of a lot of public concern, too.
And we could start at 8:30. You know, we could start a little earlier in the morning and allow a little. Go ahead, Pat.
Oh. Watford City is on Central Time, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Dickinson's on.
So we do pick up an hour that way.
Yep, we do.
Just plan it all in Central Time and then just adjust it. Just plan it all and then adjust.
But that does help in terms of.
Well, the other complicating factor, I think, is the whether we're flying or driving or combination or.
You have to fly. There's no way to do it if we don't fly.
So then we need to know whether Belfield has a
landing
place. Yep.
Well, if the company's driving, then.
No, but they would get there the night before, and we would come the day of.
No, but us being able to get from Watford City to Belfield or Dickinson faster than the company doesn't help us any.
I think it's the issue, though, for us would be to be able to get not have to stay the night before.
I believe we'd pick up, we pick up the hour from Watford to either Dickinson or Belfield, but we would save. I'm going with
now the. Now you're screwing it up by trying to plan it. You have to keep it in one time zone, and then adjust the times. Otherwise, you'll get all goofed up.
I don't think so.
You will.
I don't. I've lived this my whole life in Mercer County, but I have been summoned down there. Whatever it takes to work this out, as long as we're fair to the public.
Staff can figure it out.
The 10th and 11th are both fine with me. I prefer the 10th, but like I say, the 11th is fine.
Okay.
And
ditto.
If it's all right, Mr. Chairman, I need to excuse myself.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Steve?
No. Just remember that we do need to sign paperwork, so we'll catch Commissioner Crisman later. But if you
I'll stay.
All right. This meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.